My name's Donna George, and I'm from Copper Center Village. I want to talk about before the land claim ever came. Our people didn't have to depend on anybody to help them. Like Ben said, before in the olden days, my grandpa used to hunt, trap, fish anywhere he wanted to fish, go any place he wanted to go. We were happy that way. People didn't have to worry about starving. They could just go get a moose and feed their family at any time they wanted to. Now, after the pipeline and everything, you can't even do that anymore. It seemed like there's so many laws and regulations, and a lot of our elderly people seem like they're starving. They don't have the vitamins they were used to before from the wild meat they ate. They were used to that all their life. Today, it seemed like they're all brokenhearted. They don't have the food they wanted, they had all their life. The white people seem like they're just taking them away little by little, making them eat pork chops, chicken. Even in the stores, they sell moose meat. We have to buy our own meat back. Before, we could just go out in the woods and get them. And about this land claim, I think our leaders did a very good job about it. They tried their best. But my main worry, as right now, I'm 21 years old. Every time I go to those meetings, AFN meetings, these kind of meetings, we hear the same old things. We're going to try to help you. We're going to try to do this. But whatever is accomplished, nothing, it seems like. In 1991, my worst fears is about the land. Will our people be forced to move away from the land? Will white people be in these villages running it? My main issue is my children. Will they ever have any part in the land claims? I would want to see them be in the land claims, all the children that were born under 1971. Every time I go to an AFN meeting or an Indian meeting, I mean, any meeting that concerns land, the land claim, it breaks my heart, because in the end, it seems like no matter how much we try, no matter what we do, we're just locked in one place. We can't do this, we can't do that. There's so many laws and regulations. It seemed like with the taxes, like after 1991, no matter what way you look at it, you're going to take the land either by taxing us and getting it because we can't pay for it. It seemed like there's no hope, and most old people are giving up hope because they can't do anything. They're just like they're in a cage. And I think most of our elderly people are dying because they're brokenhearted. And about right now, like an old person can just go out. They used to be able to get their own meat and bring it home, feed their family. Now we have to use food stamps or something because there's no jobs available. Or they think Indians are too dumb, but Indians aren't dumb. They just live in a different world with a different language. Like right now, old people, you know, we get money from the state dividend. But then what happens? The old people have to pay taxes right back on it. They can't afford to do that all the time, and I think they shouldn't be the ones who pay taxes. You know, they're old people, they're retired, they went through a lot, they did a lot, and I think they should be respected more for than what they are. That's all I have to say.
Thank you, George.
I just want to say something about land, what it means to me. Margaret Escalita. I'm from Chitna, Alaska. I was at one of them that when we claimed land, 1951, in June month, helping our dad we talk about land. Of course, land is mean so much to us, the state was going to take it over. There's the legal land claim of Chitna. We talk about it with our dad, we explain what's going to be. The land is really mean lots to us. It's part of my life. I can't live without my land. Nobody else can do that. We live on this country. Many years we born in this generation from generation. Everything is means so much to us. Trees and grass or brush, just everything we use from this ground we use those two. For many things, if I just start telling everything, it's too much time. Even rocks, we use rocks, leaves, brush, everything. So we just can't, I don't think we should sell that land when that land claim, 91 or never. I think we better have our land. If we sell it, then how are we going to make it? We can't. We're just going to stand out somewhere without hope or without nothing. There's subsistence, fish, they're all on our land now, what we claim. Moose, berries, all kinds of stuff. There's so much on our land, we can't let go. Now we heard about that 91. I feel that we're just gonna go over there. We don't know. We don't know too much about this land claim too. Nobody tell us what's going on all those years from 51 till now. This is what we find out. We over the cliff. There we're going to go over. What we're going to do now? Our young children going to have a nothing. What become of them, the newborn kids? We don't know. We just become strange to everything, our country, what we used to do. We even become strange to each other. I can't even come up, go see my cousin Fred down there, you see. Just like, I'm gonna take his time. That's not the way we used to live before. We used to live neighbors to neighbor. We share things to each other. We just really go to each other and help each other. So nobody hungry. Everybody, kids around, young kids can't do nothing for themselves. We're all taken care of from the, living from the land. That's what we used to live before. You see, first ducks come. We never eat those in the fall. For summer and fall, they got little ones to take care of. When the first ducks come now, like now, we might be eat it for about a week or 10 days. Then we don't bother anymore. Now, them days is the feast of animals, everything was protected, really protected. Nobody kill over what they don't need. What they need is all they get. We have a lot of squirrel, everything this country was. Now you see that squirrel, then everywhere, it's all healed, nothing. And now, even bird, spruce hands, we have just so many things around here before. We go out and get our food. We can't do that now. There's nothing. Car come, porcupine on the road. Just for fun, they just run over. They ask each other, who killed more porcupine that night driving? See, we can't just, this is really weary country for us now. We don't know if we, the day is not looked like before to us. It's just changing. We're really strange. We become really strange. We're not seeing old people like the way long time ago people. The ground, they used to dig some roots, and today they cook it. There's good eating. And summertime, we use some brush leaves over fish camp. We use that, and wild onions and all that. People forgotten that. The kids is not healthy like before. They lost their health too. Because we're eating something that we don't know what we eat. Too much sugar, too much candy, and too much ice cream. Those are not our stuff. So we just No, right now, we just stand to that tree that was belonged to us. We stand to it. I don't know if we should cut it down. Maybe it's belonged to somebody. That's the way it goes now, or we can't even get wood. We used to burn wood. We used to have lots of warm house. We don't have nothing now. We don't have a warm house. I just want to say this today. In 1991, that the land claim, our land gonna tax, they say, but I don't know why it gonna tax. It's not gonna make nothing, no money, nothing. We don't get nothing out of it. There's nothing yet. We live just like before. I don't have running water right now. I don't have inside nothing. Just like old days I live. I don't live like, you know, people have running water, nothing. I go out, hunt, and all that kind of stuff. Fishing, it's my life. All this kindness is just part of my life. I can't live without it, this country. That our land, we claim land, that's why. My brother's not here today. He should come up too and talk for Chitna. Thank you.
Thank you, ma'am. Thank you very much.
I'm Lorraine Jackson, and I'm from Gulkana Village. My concerns are right along with these people that's been up here speaking on the native land claims, on the subsistence and lands. But along with these, I have a lot of other concerns too. The native land claims brought us lands and monies and jobs and some education, which is the good aspects of it. But I'm concerned about the children that was born after 1991. I would like to see some provisions made for them, if possible. And also on the stock, after 1991, I'd like to see that these stocks are sold back only to our own people. Otherwise, I don't see how we're going to make it by ourselves. I think we're going to lose out at the end. And the other concerns I have is on education. Yes, I see the Land Claim Settlement Act helping in education, in higher education. It's great to see that. But yet, we need a lot of help in elementary education. To me, it seems like this native land claim has brought a lot of prejudice, a lot in our school system in this area. We have a lot of pressure in this. And I am a mother of five, and all of them are from kindergarten to eighth grade, and I've been having a lot of problem with them in school, just trying to keep them in school because of the prejudice. And I'd like to see, you know, it turned around. And the dropout rates is really high in our region here. And last of all, one of my concerns is this native land claims has brought us together, has helped us to work together and, you know, help each other along. But now I guess just like in any other political issues, people are fighting against each other, I see in this region. I don't know if this is happening in other regions, but right now I see people are getting against each other and fighting for positions and things like that. And this is one thing that I would like to see stop if possible, but I'd like to see us work together, not fight against each other or try to put each other down, but all get together and work and make a go of it. Thank you.
Thank you very much.
Judge Berger, I'm Edna Charlie. I'm a Sea Alaska shareholder. I was formerly an Otna shareholder as custodian for my children. I've been living in this area for 8 years, and I was lucky enough to be living in Tistachina. And I feel that I learned a lot about the people in the time that I've been here. In living in Anchorage, I wasn't involved in any of this, or I'm not even sure that I was even interested prior to the actual passage of land claims. I was just busy going to work, taking care of my children, paying my taxes, and whatever else was I was supposed to do. But after moving up here and learned and just became aware of how all of this was affecting the people and how it would affect the people in the future, I became more interested in the land claims. The weakness I felt in the land claims law was in the enrollment. To begin with, when we were called in by Cook Inlets to enroll, and our question was, enroll what for? You know, we didn't know what it was about. It was just, I guess, because of the pressure from the political forces, there wasn't time to inform the people as what it was all about and how it would affect them in later years. The other way that I feel that, or one way that I feel land claims affected people is that it accelerated the pace that in the changes that were coming about for the Native people. It speeded up the whole process. We had to, the people had to make a whole lot of changes in a few years, and I think the drastic changes were made to the elderly people like these people have been talking about. There have been some, a lot of positive changes, and those were already pointed out. But I don't agree with Ben Neely in saying he wasn't educated. The Native people had their own educational system, probably just as complex as today's educational system. The one bad side effect that somebody else already brought up was that of the prejudice and the resentment that's been brought down to our children in schools. And I think the resentment is because of the general public not really knowing what we've gotten out of the land claims. And it isn't as much as they think it is. What actually happened is we sold the land at $3 an acre, and there's nowhere else that they would have been able to do that. And they don't realize, or don't care to think about the ripple effect that has come about because of land claims. There are some well-paid lawyers, consultants, businesses, retailers, suppliers, construction companies, oil companies, all kinds of jobs that have not only benefited natives, but a lot of non-natives too. The media, the newspapers, radio, and TV, the land claims provided them with a lot of news that helped them sell their papers. A lot of these things people don't take into account when they think that the natives got everything. But what hurts is that it gets down to the children, like has been brought out. The other thing that I wanted to say that is, the land claims also brought about a system whereby services are provided to the regions, the rural areas especially, that otherwise wouldn't have been able to be provided in the way of education and social services. All the nonprofits in every region have really expanded in the last few years and have done a lot to upgrade the quality of life in the rural areas. They've become the voice of the people to help, get help to the people in many ways. And the Native people have become more vocal and have come to a better realization that they are able to affect laws and other things that affect their lives and can benefit them. And I think the thing now is for us to impress upon the people and our children how important education is, and that we have to keep our children in school. We have to change the emphasis of our education to adjust to this society and to this economy and to the paper world. And what's coming about now is the computers and the corporate world. We have to let the older people know how important paperwork is in the way of wills and stock ownership. All this has to be, if we're to remain self-sufficient, protect our land and human resources, and for survival as individuals and corporations and as a people. The education is also important in learning about land claims and how we're to protect our land and how to prevent stock alienation. And I don't like afterborns. I prefer to call them new natives. But and I agree that the elders should be compensated for all the losses that they've had to endure. As for land ownership, I just jotted down all these things. There's no order to them. We personally, as a family, don't own any land because of Land Claim Settlement Act. We own land because we worked, saved our money, and bought our land from non-natives. Otherwise, we wouldn't have land now that we would feel free to build on. I realize that the process takes time, that the laws have to be followed, but it's not something that, I think it's something that the non-native thinks we have and we actually don't have yet. The other part of education is that more people have to become educated enough or at least become self-confident enough to be involved in the political world, to become involved in the native politics, to really realize that I was really surprised and proud at the number of young people coming up here to talk, and I hope they realize what they say can have an impact on the future of the native people. And the education and the legislation and everything would prevent us from losing our land, and because we didn't understand some legality or we overlooked something. So I think the main concern of everybody as Native people should be to protect the land because of its ties to subsistence and culture, and to develop our human resources by way of education. And at all times, to respect each other as individuals and as a people. Thank you.
Thank you, Ms. Charlie. Thank you very much.
I'm Walia Hobson, and once I was a Billum. It was my father and my mother used to live in Lower Townsend. And that was where I was born. I think back a lot of time about how we used to live and how Indian men used to rule the villages and all the things that people overlook today. I think too many of us are start keeping quiet and we think we are too old to talk to young to people. I like to see that many people get busy and start talking to young people, even they drink or not. Young people don't know what to do, and that's why they drink too, and dope and everything. And where we got this idea is from our teachers. When I went to school, I was 6 years old. I made it as far as third grade. I sound mean right now because I got a cold in my chest and I can't talk good. Besides, I'm always loud, like my father. And I like to see that people working together like these ladies said. Never mind what white people say. We don't mean we don't like white people. We love people. We are a Christian in this area. I've been trained for Sunday school and Bible conference. I'm not ashamed of it. That's the trouble with us. We don't put God first in our work. And that's why we don't have nothing work out for us. God is the head of this, everything. God made the land, and we're the one that put on to take care of it. So, and here we're selling it to everybody, giving it away. I don't think that is right. Since a lot of new people came to our land, everything changed. I like to see that people start working together again. Every time we do something, we gotta do by the law. At this land claim, everybody taking it for granted, and they taking it too far in their own way, like white people. Now we can't go off, leave our land, and go on another place, like Chonsina and Chitna. We used to go everywhere, and then nobody kicks. And then white people came, and they put up stakes for mining. They tear up all the land, the good land, for gold. And they took out most of the gold and took it back out and leave us with torn land. We don't do that. Us Native don't go out into the states, other places. We don't go out and just get into everybody's land. I know white people bought this land, but they didn't buy us. We were born here. Just as much as white people born someplace else and that belonged to them. So I don't feel that I am bought from Russian. I know I'm grateful that I am saved from Russian. I'm glad we don't belong to Russian. We don't know what we'll be. We might be as mean as Russian, but Copper River Indians, all whole Copper River. This wasn't Copper River a long time. This white man named that. Tsitoot is a real name for this whole water. Tsitoot. Go through among the village is what it means to tu. Ne yeste gisheni in den way. And then Adnat was in Chitna, right in there. That means that river go out right there. And Chitna was Chidina, means copper river. That's where the copper river is, that come out of there. Well, anyway, the white people got into this and they named different and they changed all the names and everything. They don't write it the way we tell them what to say. And then if they're writing a story, they would write it in their own way. They change our words into something awful. Copper River natives are the well-friendly natives ever since white people came way before them. My father took in lots of white people when they first came. Otherwise, they would froze out there or starve to death. White people were saved by Copper River Indians. They don't know what to do. All they know is the city. There were city slickers. And there was prostitutes that they brought. Boy, we never heard of that. And they used to call them some way. We never heard of a girl making money out of their bodies. I'm sorry I have to say this, but it have to come out. My father and mother told us that. You'll see and you're here pretty soon. Now that's everywhere now. Every time we go down on the 4th Avenue nowadays, you see that girls sticking out here waiting for men. I know who they asked to come along. Well, that's the way it is nowadays because of what they brought. Just like I said, I don't hate white people. We don't hate white people. But the things they did to us was very bad. Just because they think they bought us, we not slave, but we can't do what we want to do like we used to do. Like Sister Maggie said, and Edna here, and this girl from Copper Center, that was true. Everybody is just turning us into something that we don't want to do. And we don't think for ourselves anymore. Every time we talk to young people, they think we're crazy or something. I talk to young people all the time when they come into my house. I don't let them go away without giving advice. Like right now, I like to see that all this land claim, they said that we're going to lose our land in 1991. Well, I probably won't be here. I'm 70 years old. I probably live longer yet too. I don't know yet. But I hope to see it too. Just to see how the young people get along. And long time ago, all before white people came, like they said, we live off the land, everything. We didn't tear up the land. Wherever berries are, we take care of it and pick berries very carefully. All kinds of berries that we really preserved. In Indian medicine, those herbs, we used to put that up too. Like fish. I can't get salmon, about 30 salmon, and lots of white people say, what you gonna do with all that 30 salmon? Well, I got big family. Our sons work and they can't get nothing because of their work. They work. When they work hard. And then they had to pay tax. and they have to do other things, and they have to pay some pay for a lot of other things that they have to do nowadays. Well, we put up fish. Now I can't even cut fish because I got arthritis, and I can faint if I drink cold water. If I touch cold thing, I can drop. So I can't do any fishing. I can fish for grayling, but I can't touch cold water. I have to be very careful. But anyway, we got daughters that cut salmon. She put up some salmon last year. And then I have to trade with my cousin for bale of salmon that she cut because she make good salmon that lasts us all winter. We ration that out. That's another thing natives never used to do, never waste. We used to take care of all our food, and we never waste. But here you see out there in the woods, somebody would come around and shoot moose, and there's all. Last fall, we were hunting up and down everywhere. Toward last day, up at Nabesna Road, we drove down into a gravel pit, and there was white people, three parking there. We didn't see anything they have, but we stopped there just to make fire and have lunch. My husband and I and my son George. And after they went away, next day, 2 days after we came back again, I walked down the trail toward the creek, and here laying a moose head rotten in four lakes, scattered in a bag of liver full of maggots. Boy, those liver, we love moose liver and kidneys. We clean them and we put them away and freeze. But here it's just rot away right there, waste. With a lot of people hungry, a lot of native kids hungry. And then we get our caribou tag. We keep it for 2 years. They give it back to us because we paid for it. Now that they feel sorry for us old people, so they give it back to us. They don't let us buy another one. Anyway, my husband and I, we're giving it back this time because the season, caribou season, is over. We are helpless and we can't have help, and our son, he's got his own, they got their own license, and they can't go out and shoot for us. So nobody will do it for us because of the law. So that $5 each went to waste. What they do with all these monies that they sell tickets for caribou anyway? I don't know. Do fish and wildlife, they just walk around out there all the time, writing on paper pads and everything. I don't know what they're doing. Sometimes I like to look at their pads. I'm a good reader too. I understand very well. Even though I went to school only for third grade, I taught myself. I read and I write. From there on, I didn't give up because of the school closed in Chitna. That's another thing the government did to us. The government teachers weren't very good. They were mean. They didn't teach us really good. They don't like to use us to talk to each other in our dialect. They get mad and they bang on a table and they get their big rod of stick and they hit the table and say, "What you say?" Well, we get scared and we have to interpret what we're saying to each other. So I think that's why young people didn't learn anymore, because of the government teachers were so mean to us in school, and even now too, the teachers are, I don't know right now. Now they want native teachers to teach those dialect now. It's hard for young people to get back on, hard for them to say it now because of they talk so much like white people and their tongue, they can't get their tongue, they don't move their tongue like we do. I wasn't ashamed of my dialect, because every different country have their own dialect, and they know that it's what was given to us. They were born with it. So anyway, every time I get up, when we come to meetings, like our dues that come work with us at meetings, white people, our lawyer, they get up and leave. I don't think they like what I'm saying. Well, if they don't like what I'm saying, they can tell me. I have to come out. It's what is all wrong. I'd have to be told. Now, if we make mistake among the white people, it will spread like fire in no time. I know it. And our boys, our son, Victor, was working on pipeline. He was good at this welding, and he's out of job now for 2 years. Somebody pushed him out of it, and somebody got in there. Well, as long as white people coming up into this land, they are make the young people just out of the way. I don't know. Other, like I say, we don't go out and take up all the rooms in other places. My daughters used to live out in the States. We used to visit them. And they obey the law and the rules in the cities, but they don't take over anything. So when we used to go out, we used to visit their friends, and we make a lot of friends, a lot of people like us. And my husband is Eskimo, half-breed Eskimo. His father was a white man. And he had all his father's relatives were all in Oregon. When we went out to meet them all, they want to meet us all, but we didn't stay long. But Frank, he respect his father and his father's people, but yet he loved all the natives, no matter what kind of natives in Alaska. He loved little children. He liked those little black-haired and black-eyed native kids. He think they're cute. Because most of our children is part of them, like Evelyn here. She don't look like Indian. But yet she talks about Indian a lot. She learned a lot from me and her mother. Her mother taught her a lot about native ways. And she go around everywhere talking to people. That's the way we should do, all talk to people wherever we go. I make friends everywhere I go. Like I said, we don't hate people, only we don't like the way that people rule us too much. And they make us scared to do anything like. When long time ago, Native used to go together to down Cordova, Nunchuck, they said. They used to take skin boat. All the men and sometimes women come along too with their husbands. And they used to trade down there. That was Russian store way down there. But that was different. They didn't stay there. They just get like what they need, food. Sugar and flour and bacon, lard, all these things that our daily food, that's what they used to go after and trade, and some materials for clothing, and they get some clothes for their families, blankets and things like that. But those days were good old days. Everybody worked together. Like I said, I don't like to do things that been lost, like Sister Maggie said, all these birds and animals, they're all gone now. We can't. Tis Lena, we used to have down here that we used to have rabbits around. Sometimes I get hungry for rabbits. I don't know when last I eat rabbit. We are brought up with these things, like spruce hen and ptarmigan and grouse and squirrels, not tree squirrel, but ground squirrel. And then like sheep. Boy, we go down Chitna and look at these sheep and we can't kill anything. Like I said, we give back our tickets because we can't get to the caribou. A certain place we have to go to kill a caribou. So we had these tickets for 2 years because I told the Fish and Wildlife, I say, well, if I can't kill moose because of the measurement, by the time I measure the horn, the moose get away. Well, I said, I think you better, I told this lady there, I'm going to ask the Fish and Wildlife man to hunt for me and get me moose, because it's their fault that we don't get no moose. My husband and I never get moose for 4-5 years now, nothing. When we were healthy and we were still doing good, we used to go out and get our own moose in the woods. We used to walk, and where we see moose, we go out and get it. But now we can't do that. We just have to look at the moose. And sometimes we have to measure, and then by the time we measure, it get away. So it's just hard to tell what size are these sometimes, the way they stand and the way they move around. By the time you count these